Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin here. Okay, would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly. When Paul was saying this, it wasn't mean that he was packing something that was a foolish nature. Okay, but he's talking about and regarding this contrast. And we'll read about that here in a minute. Okay, a little of my folly and indeed bear with me. Okay, more or less it's like he's chiding with him a little bit. Okay, concerning making this one point. Because like people today, they stand in question in regarding this knowledge. And the Corinthians here were standing in somewhat of a question regarding Paul's stewardship. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Okay. That is with God's perspective. Why do you give yourselves over to such flighty things and not really give yourself over to the tokens of the covenant? Okay. So he's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Mm-hmm. For I have espoused you, the mating season. Mm-hmm. I espouse you to one husband, okay, that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. Okay? That's the same thing the Spirit's revealing today. But I fear, in this form of jealousy, lest by any means the serpent, I like the word serpent there, the serpent beguiled by promise. And that's the way the kingdom of Satan works. He beguiles by promise. Mm-hmm. As a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your minds, being perception of this gospel, should be corrupted from the simplicity, okay, which has to do with your priesthood. The simplicity is so evident. Okay, the priesthood, why is it that it's so complicated in the house of Bel? It's complicated in the house of Bel because everything at that point in the house of Bel is reduced, okay, to a traditional form. Okay, the traditional form of man. Okay, and it's a traditional form of man that's complicated it. Okay, the things of the Spirit are real simple. Okay, but it's man that complicates things. Mm-hmm. Okay, but because it's concealed from the carnal mind, they don't see the value in it. Okay, so he says, lest I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, okay, and wiles, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay. So, and he's saying right here, so why are you complicating things for yourself? Why are you complicating things for yourself? He's telling the Corinthians here. Okay, for if he that comes preaches another Jesus, you might want to highlight these three things right here. Another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. Because if there's another one out there, that means that other one is still here today. Okay, as he wrote this 2,000 years ago, okay, it is still here today. Okay, it is competing against the truth. Okay, if it can't destroy it, it wants to defile it. The fallen watchers cannot destroy Adam, so they'll just defile them, knowing that God will judge them for the choices. For if he that comes, a different steward, okay, in fact, he's talking about these false apostles over here. We just talked about them. Okay, and verse 13. For if he, these false apostles in verse 13, comes, preaches another Jesus. Okay, this is the history Jesus. Okay, the Jesus of the fundamental Jesus, not the foundation Jesus, the fundamental Jesus. Okay. These people are believers, but they're not covenant believers. They're still unconverted yet. This is what Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, Peter. Okay, you believe that I am who I testify myself as to being the Messiah. But the conversion comes through the tokens. Where did the conversion come into? The day of Pentecost. This is a day when Peter was converted. On the day of Pentecost, when he received the seal, and then on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. Okay, stewardship began to emerge, and the priesthood began to be engaged. There's your conversion right there. That is the conversion. Okay, so Peter, when you are converted, now I've been preparing you with knowledge, so that when this time comes to, you know, enter into it, okay, you'll be able to function into it. You'll be able to move right into it. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, being the history of him, okay, or the fundamentals, whom we have not preached in that light, okay, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, that is the spirit of Antichrist, by the way. The other spirit is the spirit of this world. Okay, the spirit of this world loves to chew the camel meat. Camel meat. Okay, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Camel meat. Okay. They'll swallow anything. Okay, that looks like it's, you can say that looks profitable for themselves, like the laughter movement. Okay, the laughter movement, it was camel meat. They just swallowed it right down. It was good. Okay, but when it comes to truth, you got to give them a super magnifying glass so they can look at the gnat. Okay, they got this big magnifying glass, and they want to put you in a magnifying glass, and they want to really put it up to one over. They want to use it. What is it? Neutron microscopes, right?
1,000 times.
Right. They want to magnify it right down to the lowest atom. They want to say, "Oops, I see that there's an atom out of place there." Okay. And the neutron microscope.
They pray for the truth. I mean, how many say they pray for the truth, and then when they get it, they get.
Right, when they pray for it, immediately they put on their super magnifying glasses. You know, and they want to scrutinize everything. They want to tell you what apostle is. They want to tell you what apostle will do. They want to tell you what the truth is.
Suddenly
they know everything. That's really incredible. But yet they're in darkness. They ought to use a flashlight, which they say they have. But they don't.
Yeah, that's why I see people.
Mm-hmm. So they are the camel eaters, the spirit of this world. I said that to one guy there on in Chrisma there.
They're trying to drag the camel through the needle, fully loaded.
Yeah, they're trying to do that too. Okay, so this is the Antichrist spirit, or the spirit of this world. I made a note on that one. Antichrist spirit, that's the other spirit. Okay, this is the false piety. And this is what we brought out in Titus or Timothy. Okay, concerning they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Okay, they can talk the language, but not walk the walk. They can talk the language, but they're not involved with anything. Okay, they're vagabonds. This is what Cain was. Cain was a religious vagabond. He was a wanderer, a fugitive from Christ, untethered from grace. He's always a spiritual vagabond. Okay, lawless, riotous. Okay, and this is what Jude brings out. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They severed the grace. They murdered their brother. They withhold grace from each other. They don't know what charity is. Okay, true charity. Another Jesus being the history Jesus. Okay, okay, the history Jesus, but we gave you the foundation Jesus, the covenant Jesus, that which he shed his blood for. Another Jesus whom we not preached, not just the manger Jesus. Okay, the world loves the manger Jesus, because it can dote over it. It can sympathize with it. It can show its passion, for it. Okay, but when it comes to the covenant Jesus, it's suddenly an abomination. Okay, in that. What, don't you know the covenant Jesus, the little one that you loved in the manger, that you sang about on Christmas? Okay, that we're talking about the same Jesus, except you just don't allow him to be your Lord. Okay? You just want to keep him in a manger. Okay, which you have not received, or another gospel. Which you have not accepted. He says here, you might well bear with him. Okay, because you want to enter into the aspiration. It's the aspiration that excites you. Okay, but what about covenant truth? Okay, you should be zealous, just as zealous for covenant truth, see, as you're excited about going to a rugby game. Okay, you're excited about going to a rugby game. Of course, you're doing nothing but really cheering them on. Okay, but you should be just excited for the truth, okay, as you are excited for those things. Verse 5, For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And he became a chief apostle. Okay. The apostle Paul says, I'm following their pattern. You see the word chief apostle? Yeah, they were chief apostles. Peter was a chief apostle. Okay, John was a chief apostle, and James was a chief apostle. All right, and then after John, Peter passed away, okay, then of course Paul, of course, was then elected to stand in the gap. Okay, he became a chief apostle. Okay, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be rude in speech. Okay, because even though the knowledge of truth is offensive, okay, he says here, but though I be rude in speech, yet not a knowledge. Okay, which means I know what I'm talking about. Okay, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So the word manifest in all things. Okay. Thoroughly made manifest, okay, in all things. Then these are the tokens, the same things of which were given to you. The government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, the callings, the grace of God. Okay, we saw this manifested Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Okay, we saw level one prophecy, like level two prophecy. We saw visions being shared and dreams. Okay, this was thoroughly being manifested that Christ is in you. Okay, this is a light that the church wants. Okay, but they have to come it through due process. You have to work with the stewardship which God has sanctified. Okay. Okay, but have I committed an offense in abasing myself? instead of driving a Mercedes, or you know what I'm talking about. I'm not against any vehicle, okay. But instead of having the best of the best, what I'm talking about, okay, I'm not against that, okay. But I'm just saying. But have I committed self abasing myself? Paul says, I did not pursue the honor of the world, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything against that, okay. But I'm not pursuing the honor of the world, okay. But Paul says right here, because I didn't pursue these things. Okay, he says right here that in abasing myself, that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely. Okay. In other words, I wasn't using this for the purpose of self-promotion. Okay. Not for self-promotion, okay, but for the building of the body. Now he says, I rather the churches. We know he physically didn't go in there with a mask on and say, stick them up. Okay, we know he didn't do that. Okay. But rather, he says, I rather churches, which means that other churches have provided a lot of, an abundance of things in order to help and assist the Corinthian church. Taking wages of them just so I could write this epistle and so I could come there. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. Okay, for that which is lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being a burden unto you, being burdensome to you, so will I keep myself. This is what Paul felt. Okay. He didn't want to be a burden to the saints. He wanted to help them. And that's good. As the truth of Christ is in me, which he's expressing right here, this is the record of my soul. God is my record. Paul brings that out. God is my record, which means I'm following this pattern. Okay. I'm not following my pattern. I'm following his pattern. As the truth of God is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you. Well, God knows this. Okay. What I do, that I would do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. They're setting forth these credentials to challenge me. Okay? But he says, but I'm not standing in the light of their credential. I'm standing in the light of his grace. These false apostles, which he'd be talking about right here, okay, these false apostles, false teachers, the house of El, okay, is trying to set standards for us to reciprocate with, okay, or to capitulate towards, okay, to affirm and to build with. We're not going to do that. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which are looking for this, desire occasion. That when they glory or boast, they boast in their own credential, but not in the grace of God. That they may be found even as we, okay, as concerning the grace of God, that they be found even as we. Now for such a false apostles, now here we identify those, okay, in Timothy, and he was talking about them again here, in Corinthians. Like Jannes and Jambres. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. So how do they were deceitful worker? Because the activity which you're performing, okay, is not according to grace, it's according to the aspiration again, the moral code. So their works appear to be in true piety, but in reality is death and corruption. Corruption and death. Okay, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, and they have a false regeneration. A false regeneration, transforming themselves. That's false regeneration. Okay, their false regeneration has to do with association and not the inner work. It has to do with association, not the inner work. Okay, it's like somebody going to what do they call those things? A monastery. Okay, you go to a monastery, okay, in order to gain entrance, okay, you have to be in the same kind of uniform. Okay, I like those monk robes, okay, your head shaved. Okay, I don't know if they still do that. Mm-hmm. I think I heard that they may still do that, okay. Okay, they go through certain rituals, okay. That's a false transformation. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's also false humility. Mm-hmm. That's false piety. To the carnal eye, it tricks the carnal eye, so that's called a deceitful work. Mm-hmm. But to us, you can see the spirit behind it. Okay, mm-hmm. To us, you can see the kingdom that's influencing that. But those which are in darkness can't discern that. Those which are in the light can discern all things. Okay. But for such, then Paul could identify it because, okay, not only of his stewardship, because also the things which he was taught to Barnabas and Peter and James and John, when he went up, when he went, as in this epistle to the Galatians, when he went up to Jerusalem. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves by false regeneration into the apostles of Christ. Okay, so you could put false regeneration, or just put F-R-G. Okay, because that's what we have up there. That's the symbolism of regeneration we have up there in the table of elements, and the twelve stones of the altar. Okay, into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, he says. Doesn't this amaze you? How could these people do this? Now we see this in the book of Acts. There were certain that claimed to come from James in Jerusalem. Okay, and they brought to the Gentiles that it was absolutely necessary for the Gentiles to be circumcised to be saved. And he says, oh, you have to be circumcised to be saved. Today, okay, instead of being circumcised, today they would say, oh, you got to be water baptized to be saved. Okay, but water baptism, of course, was the symbolism which was with Moses. Okay, which symbolism was carried over into the Christian church? Okay, which, of course, by being carried over into that, it proved to be a stumbling stone. Okay, to where people began to emphasize water in place of spirit. And again, two different camps of Christians began to emerge out of that. Okay, those which are the carnal-minded being baptized in water, and those which are the spirit, they being spirit-baptized. Okay, two types of Christians began to emerge from that. The Esau Christian and the Jacob Christian began to emerge from that, and what stands today. But he says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now you know where he got that from. Because he got that out of the testament of Adam and Eve, okay, as well as also the patriarchs. Remember when Satan appeared to Adam, he appeared just like an angel of light, okay, and he was smiling, and all his minions there were around singing praises to God. They were right in the middle of choir practice, and they came right to the cave, right where Adam was at. Now this is the same thing that happens to people that have these life after death experiences. This has happened, and I've read the books about this, okay, which I'm conveying this to you. Okay, when people have certain experiences, okay, they're going to go back to the body. This one particular pastor, okay, was in an auto accident and it was pronounced dead. Okay, and he, in his testimony, he said he was taken into heaven. That's true, he was, but he didn't go any further than the first heaven. Okay, he was taken into heaven. Okay, and there he says he saw God. He saw a throne, he saw God, he saw all these angels, and then he saw all these people that had died that were in this congregation. They were all there. Okay? And they were singing all these praises. Okay? Now one thing about a revelation. The revelation he received was only a confirmation of the denominational persuasion. It had nothing to do with what God was going to unfold in the church. Okay, it had nothing to do with the establishment of God's government, okay, and the time frame we're living in right now. And this happened, I think, about 30 years ago or something like that. So then he came back, and he told everybody about this experience he had. Okay, and so everybody, and then he wrote a book, and he was, of course, on 700 Club, and people are talking to him, and he says, oh, you must have the truth because of all these things. These people are violently against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But you see what happened here? Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did he go? He went into Satan's showroom. Okay, Satan again is a role-playing Jesus. Okay, Satan designed his kingdom just like the throne of God in the seventh heaven. He did the same thing. This man was taken, okay, into an experience, okay, that looked very valid, very real, okay, and looked like it was definitely of the Lord, but it was not of God. Okay, it was Satan himself pretending to be God. And those angels, the demons, took on the form of people that had passed on. That's all they did. That's what they do with these familiar spirits. Familiar spirits do the same thing when people call back the dead, remember? That's what Saul thought he saw. That he thought he saw Samuel. In reality, it wasn't Samuel. Samuel was a righteous man. Okay, but it was a demon that was pretending to be Samuel. Okay? So So here we can see Satan again performing his deceptions, okay, appearing as an angel of light. Okay. So for no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's there to trick you, and he does it whether you're in the body or out of the body. He'll trick you because he knew that Satan knew that this person was going to be returned. So he gave him a good performance. Therefore, there's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. There's the word transformed again. You get three times so far. Verse 13, 14, and 15. So I drew a line from transforming, transforming, transform, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, which means the lack of. Okay? Whose end shall be according to their works. They don't have a priesthood. Okay? Verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, as if I'm again following my own inclination. If otherwise, as a fool, receive me, okay, that I may boast myself a little. Okay, what he's saying, if I come to you, if it's an aspiration you're looking for, well, I could come to you with an aspiration. I could come to you and I could tell you all these big grand things, you know, and what you could do and what Jesus loves you, and you would like me for that. Okay, the largest. Conventions, religious conventions, are those, okay, which will hold high aspirations, the largest conventions. Okay, and Paul says, if I came to you in this manner, that spirit, you would receive me. Okay, but I'm not going to come to you in that, because I'd be misrepresenting Christ. That which I speak it not after the Lord, he says, but as it were foolishly, in this confident boasting, seeing that many glory after flesh, I will glory also. If I came to you talking about the things of Moses, you would say, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, when they read the Old Testament, they see how God was engaged with these things. They love that. Okay, but what about the covenant? What does God desire of you now? Okay, what he desires now? What does go on? You suffer a fool gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. That's in your own conceit. For you suffer a man bring you into bondage. To what? To Moses. If a man devour you as a sacrifice. If a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. Now, I speak concerning reproach. There's that word reproach. In his position as government, being a steward in government, okay, I'm rebuking you, he says. I speak as concerning reproach. Though we apostles been weak. Just because we don't immediately step in and say something doesn't mean that we're not aware of it. Okay? The apostles had to wait until God gave the green light. Then they would move. And that's when they moved. Okay. Howbeit, wherein any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. And that's good to have boldness. But not the boldness of the imagination, but the boldness of grace is good. Mm-hmm. All right. Now he goes right here, and this is what we're talking about. Are they Hebrews? So I like the word Hebrew. And then highlight the word also, the bondage in verse 20. Draw a line from the word Hebrew to the word bondage in verse 20. Okay, that's exactly what he's talking about there in the book of Acts, concerning those which came. Says, unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Okay, after you be circumcised after the manner of Moses. That's the doctrine of Galatians. The doctrine of the Galatians, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation, is that which God hates, because it's embracing the old covenant. It's bringing the old covenant into the new covenant. Now, if you take the old and put it into the new, you just contaminate it. Okay, and of course Jesus is talking about the same thing. No man takes, okay, a new garment, okay, that's been torn and sews into that, or sews an old one into a new garment. He talks about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Okay, my gospel will stand in itself, not apart from Moses. My covenant is apart from Moses, but it's the fulfillment of those things. Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Did you see to Abraham? So am I. Well, see, we seem to be agreeable to this point. Are they the ministers of Christ? Now I speak as a fool. Now, when he says, are they ministers of Christ, who are they representing? They're representing Moses, but they're using Jesus' name. I am more, he says, in regarding Christ, and labor is more abundant. He asks concerning the work of the altar, more abundant, and stripes above measure. Okay, and regarding the work of regeneration, and prisons more frequent and depths off. Okay, concerning the inner working and what God appointed for me, what God said to him, what God said to the apostle Paul. okay, was uniquely only to him. Okay, but it was to show the sustaining power of God's grace through all the situations which Paul faced, and all the prisons, the shipwreck, the beatings, and everything. I'll show you my power. I'll show my power through him, just like we did Job. I'll show my power through him. Are the Jews 5 times received thy 40 stripes, save one? Why are they beating me if I'm confirming them? I'm not confirming them. That's why they're beating me. Okay, the Jews 40 times received thy 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Why don't you just plead the blood, Paul? Hey, why don't you just bind and loose the devil? Okay, you see? Why didn't he do that? Because you can't. That's why you can't. Okay? Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was I suffered shipwreck. Okay, and this is something important right here. Okay, observe that. Don't buy a ticket when Paul buys a ticket. You can see the apostle Barnabas departed from Paul for a while. And now you know why.
Didn't somebody complain about that, where he was on a ship with them? I forget which one it is. Where he said, you got this guy, what's happening? Something along
with that.
No, this is New Testament. I have to find it.
Okay, regarding, didn't I warn you not to depart? And you, when he was talking, or when he was talking about, to the captain? Or
maybe it.
Okay, well, Paul Barnabas did depart from Paul for a while, and probably he was finished about treading water. He didn't want to tread any more water. Okay, or shipwrecked, right. All right. His insurance policy was getting expensive. Thrice as I beat him. His medical's running out, right? Once I was stoned.
He's filled out papers for an insurance claim.
Yeah, right. He was tired of standing in those lines. Okay. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often. And perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in a city, perils in a wilderness, perils in a sea, perils among false brethren. Wow. Okay. And weariness and painfulness and watchings. Okay. Without sleep, without proper food, and getting thirsty. And fastings often and cold and a nakedness. Having insufficient clothing. Okay, besides those things that were without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This is my goal. I kept my mind on my mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the same thing. Okay, the saints here in South Africa, keep focused on their mission. Fruit-bearing and informing. Fruit-bearing and informing. That's all God wants us to do. Just bear forth fruit. Continue in your priesthood. Attend the assembly. Okay, the building of the body of Christ. That's your fruit-bearing. Okay, and inform. The evangelism, okay, informing. Online, offline, passing out flyers, inform. Sharing your faith. Beside those things which are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Okay, I'm in the skin and the flesh just like you are. Who is offended and I burn not? Because Paul says, I'm always being blamed for other people's problems. You saw this happen in Thessalonica, okay, with Thecla. Remember, Thecla was a very young girl. She was espoused to be married to Thamyris, okay, but she was converted, and when she was converted, her mother was really upset because she had already pre-planned for Thecla to marry Thamyris in Thessalonica. So she left home and went with the Apostle Paul into Iconium, okay, and all kinds of things followed her around. Paul was actually afraid to follow her around because he says, look, you're a beautiful girl. And he says, I can see nothing but problems following you. And that's exactly what happened. Okay, exactly what happened. But she became an apostle. Thecla became an apostle later on. After she evangelized certain areas of Greece, she had a mountain ministry in Rhodian or Chalmion. She had a mountain ministry. And the Lord performed many miracles and healings through her ministry until she was about 90 years old. And she was raptured at that time. She never saw death. Okay, in that. But yeah, she was a martyr and apostle of the Lord. You can be a martyr by suffering. You don't have to be a martyr by death. You can be a martyr by suffering. Okay, so just let you know that. Yes, you can be a martyr by suffering. See, Apostle Paul kind of distances himself from her for a while. Because he says there's many young people of your age that are given fornication during this time, but she focused on consistency. See, that she would, that she dedicated herself just to be for the Lord. And that's what she did. Okay, and the Lord and the Lord rejoiced in that, her consistency in that. Okay, well, let's go on here. Where we leave off at in verse offended. Okay, verse 29. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? That's where I got that. Okay, I'm always being accused of somebody else's problems. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concerning my infirmities. That's the work of regeneration, which we rejoice in. We do the same thing. We rejoice in a regeneration. The tether, which Paul is identifying here, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he began his epistle, which is blessed forevermore because we're tethered to him in our joy, knows that I lie not. I'm not following my own record. But look what happened here. In Damascus, the governor under Artius, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes there. He surrounded it and was going to arrest me. With a garrison, he desired to arrest me or apprehend me. Particularly those that were emotionally profiling me, that as if I was as if I was the bad person. Paul wasn't the bad person. Look what Paul had to do here. He had to act like a common thief. He had to escape from them. Through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. That's a little humiliation for a man of God, isn't it? Okay, but Paul says this is what we were pointed to, the VHP factor, the vulnerability, humiliation, pain.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.